During the presidential campaign, Alexandra Pelosi traveled across the country in an attempt to gauge the concerns of conservatives over the prospect of an Obama victory. She joins me now to talk about her latest documentary called Right America, Feeling Wronged. It premieres on HBO next Monday, February 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which also happens to be on President's Day. And I'm very pleased to welcome Alexandra to this show. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you for having me back. Yeah, President's Day, in honor of all the people in America who did not get the president that they voted for.
Well, since your mother is Nancy Pelosi and you must know a lot about the ways liberal Democrats think, were you approaching conservative voters as some kind of exotic species?
No, I was actually, well, I always thought it was interesting that you don't see their perspective on TV. Now, I know that Fox News exists, and I know that the Republicans have dominated the airwaves. But the masses of people that stand in line to go see Sarah Palin on a Saturday night, I don't know who those people are. I know what New York City Republicans look like, the kind that show up in Fox News to be in studio. I know what Ann Coulter looks like. But I don't know who the base, you know, the diehard standing in line for 8 hours in the cold because they just want to get a glimpse of the candidate with their own two eyes. Who are these people?
Were you traveling on John McCain's Straight Talk Express bus?
No.
Because you show shots of it every so often. I assume that you were doing something similar initially to what you did with George Bush during the 2000 campaign.
Well, first of all, the McCain campaign, because of my last name, treated me more like Al-Qaeda. They didn't want me anywhere near them. And whenever I was filming John McCain, they would jump in front of me like I was some sort of terrorist that was about to shoot him. And I had to remind them that I did have 15 years as a journalist, you know, under my belt, and that I did have a sort of famous friendship with George W. Bush from the movie I made in 2000. So I had to remind them that I wasn't just there to, you know, mock the candidate, but the campaign didn't trust me. But that being said, you know, every political journalist will tell you nowadays there's nothing to get on the bus anymore. The campaign bus is dead for journalism. And I had no interest in sitting inside the bubble being spoon-fed the story of the day from the McCain campaign. I wanted to meet the real supporters. I wanted to get out there and talk to the people who, you know, I don't share any similarities with them in terms of their worldview. But I thought it was interesting that their perspective seemed to be lost in this election.
And they complain that they really don't have a voice, even though they represent millions. There are millions and millions of them.
Well, did you think from watching it that those were the voices that you see on TV? I mean, did you see people on TV saying Obama is the Antichrist, Obama is Hitler, Obama is a socialist? I mean, some of it.
I get emails from people who are making those claims. But yeah, those people have been marginalized because they're an embarrassment, I guess, to the people who they are supporting.
Right. So the right wing, they get sort of pushed down. You know, what's going to happen when this movie comes out? You know, by the end of the week, I'm sure Fox News will say, I'm just trying to embarrass the Republican Party by putting some of these people on TV. The irony of that is that they're embarrassed by their base. They're embarrassed by some of these things. But the right-wing radio is where these people pick up their talking points. These people at the rallies are just mimicking what they hear on right-wing radio. But then when it's put back on television, people are going to say, oh, you picked the one lunatic in the crowd. We didn't pick the one lunatic in the crowd. For every person that says Obama is the Antichrist, there are hundreds. You've gotten emails to that effect, right? I mean, it's just a, I don't know where the sentiment came from. I think it came from right-wing radio.
You know, but you do have, you include one black man suggesting that your goal was to make the South appear to be backward and racist.
Right. This is one of the problems with taking a road trip and talking to people. You're going to find a lot of people that use the N-word. And then you have to ask yourself, well,
And some of them used it very proudly while you were filming.
Right. And so you think, does this have a place on television? Are we going to give these people a platform and promote racism? Or are we going to pretend it doesn't exist? And, you know, what was so stark, what was the stark contrast for me is the first debate was in Oxford, Mississippi, and you saw on television how whitewashed that debate was. And you'd walk right outside and talk to people and you'd hear the N-word left and right from everyone you talked to. So you're kind of trying to show what would be an accurate picture of what what America looks like in 2009. And there are always going to be people who aren't ready for change. And what I was hoping that this film would be was sort of an artifact of a moment in time right before this change happens. There are always going to be people that aren't ready for change, that don't want it, that say, I'm not ready for a black president. And eventually they'll grow out of that.
Well, did you pick and choose who you spoke to, or did you just go up to everybody? How representative were the people in your film of the people that you interviewed?
Well, just like everything else in life, you have this little microcosm. You know, there are going to always be people that don't want to talk to me because of my last name. There are going to be people that don't want to talk to me.
Oh, they knew who you were? Because there's one scene where Sean Hannity tells people she's Nancy Pelosi's daughter. And it looks like at that point that you were fearing for your life.
Yeah, there were moments where I felt I was going to get lynched. I mean, there were some very unchristian moments from the Christian conservative crowd. But there were also a lot of people, photograph seekers, because of my movie I made with Bush in 2000. So it was a very strange, it was very dysfunctional, because some people would be really warm and they'd invite me home for dinner. And other people would, well, we won't go there. Let's try and stay away from the unchristian portion and just talk about what a good travel experience we had.
And where did you visit? Because you didn't go to any of the really big cities, or at least you don't show us New York, Chicago, Los Angeles.
I figured that the average HBO viewer knows what a Republican in New York City or California looks like. So I tried to go to places like Indiana, where I just noticed on the TV screen, that's where Barack Obama is today, peddling his stimulus package. The places in America between California and New York where, you know, they know what these places look like. They come on vacation in New York. They come on vacation in San Francisco, but we don't go on vacation in Beaver, Pennsylvania. We don't go on vacation in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I tried to go to the places in the, you know, the red states where, you know, the real conservatives live, the ones that, the, you know, you have to remember, over 58 million people did not vote for Barack Obama. It's a staggering number. People in New York seem to think that the whole world, you know, everyone's on an Obama honeymoon, and they just feel like everyone in the country loves Obama, and they forget that there are big portions of the population between California and New York that think Obama is Hitler or the Antichrist.
My guest is Alexander Pelosi, whose latest film is called Right America Feeling Wronged. It will premiere on HBO next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then, as is HBO's practice, be run into the ground for a couple of months. But you like that, don't you? The more people who can see it, the better for you, of course.
I love HBO.
Now, what were the key issues that most of these people told you were of concern to them?
Abortion, which is, you know, seems so 1980s. Abortion. There were plenty of people that would say the most important issue in this election is abortion and gay marriage. And, you know, the economy, the war, those were issues that came up. But if you had to say to me, from all the people you talked to, I talked to thousands of people, and the first question would be, what's the most important issue in this election, abortion or gay marriage? Gun rights being around third. And then I would say the economy came later. Do you remember when the campaign got really mad and really angry and people were standing up at rallies and saying, Obama's a socialist or Obama's a hooligan, whatever they would say about him. There was a moment where you did start to see snippets. Obama's a Muslim. You remember that moment? Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the campaign, you started to see how nasty the campaign got. And around then was when people started saying, okay, I'd say, why is everybody so mad? And they'd say, well, I'm losing my 401k. You know, when the economy started to fall apart during the election. That was, you'd start to see that a little bit more. But I would say if I had to say, abortion and gay marriage would be the two most important issues.
But when they called him a socialist and then called him a Nazi, just compared him to Hitler, did you question the logic of that?
Well,
because those are contradictions, aren't they? Hitler threw socialists and communists into prison.
Yeah, it's a hard conversation to have, you know, a real deep philosophical political discussion with somebody who's calling Obama Hitler. I mean, it's a hard leap. You know, a lot of people said it, and I figured they were just mimicking something that they heard on right-wing radio.
What was the argument for that? What had he done that would have suggested that he would be like Hitler?
He didn't have any family. He came from nowhere. He rose so quickly, and the college kids all got behind him, and his rallies seemed like these huge Nuremberg-type events. I mean, in the eyes of the conservatives, they were just scared. More than anything else, he came from nowhere and scared them. You know, that there was just a really base reaction to him.
And some people said that they actually had seen the number 666 on his forehead. It wasn't just that they believed that he was Antichrist. They actually saw it.
But you know what's interesting about this to me is that these are men in khakis and polo shirts. These were not fringy, like, retards. I mean, you know, it sounds really crazy to say Obama's the Antichrist, Obama's Hitler. But you have to see some of the footage because these were men with jobs and ties. And, you know, one woman was giving me this speech about how Obama was Hitler and socialist. And then her husband walked up. Her husband was the congressman from Melbourne, Florida. So I was like, well, your husband is the congressman and you're saying this. This was not crazy, fringy, weirdo stuff.
Well, what did McCain represent for them? Because at the beginning, when it looked like McCain was going to win the nomination, many conservatives in the Republican Party said that they didn't feel that they could support him.
I think that Palin really brought out the base. And by the base, I mean, you know, the ones that love the red meat And that really sold. You know, McCain's crowds, with all due respect to the senator, he couldn't get a crowd before he picked Palin. I mean, I went to every event. I would sit there and there would be rows and rows of empty seats. As soon as he picked Palin, people got excited and they came out and they had something to vote for and they loved her. But, you know, of course, the bigger the crowds, the crazier it gets. And the election got really nasty. And I know that we like to think we all love Obama and we're all feeling good and warm and fuzzy and post-election glow because we're proud of our country again and all that. But we have to remember that there are a huge number of people out there. I don't know how many of the 58 million that voted for McCain feel this way, but that feel like they're disappointed in this country. They feel like the country's going in the wrong direction. And they're going to come back. They're not dead. You know, they're going to come back in 4 years, 8 years, and we have to deal with them. And we have to figure out as a country, this is sort of the big question that I'm trying to ask with this film, which is sort of this two-party system. If you have, you're just swinging back and forth from one party to the next. And does this representative government work? I mean, is this two-party system? You know, Obama said a lot about bipartisan. Well, you see how quickly that has sort of fallen apart in the first 2 weeks of his presidency.
Well, we can guess at the reasons for there being so much animosity, but when people predict that it will that this will lead to the death of America as we know it, and some saying that they're going to move to Canada, Spain, some other places, I don't know whether any of them have moved yet. Still, you have to wonder why such a violent response.
They learned it from us. How many friends do you have, Leonard, that said, if Bush gets reelected, I'm moving to Canada? We taught them. How many people do you know had not My President bumper stickers on their car when Bush was reelected? I know plenty. I'm a liberal. I'm from San Francisco. I live in New York. And I don't know. I know tons of people that voted for McCain. Like, you know, my next door neighbor voted for McCain. I know people that voted for McCain. I'm not that blind to the idea that there are Republicans in America. But we taught them this kind of, I hate my president. It all, I think Bush really brought it to the surface, you know, made us that way. And then now they're mimicking us.
Do you think that that it would be interesting to go out and find some of these people again and ask them how they're coping with this terribly changed America?
I talked to them on the phone. A lot of the people in the movie I talked to on the phone to find out how they're, you know, the holidays were really tough for them. There's a lot of depression. A lot of the people that went campaigning door to door for the GOP ticket had a hard time getting out of bed in the first month. You know, Thanksgiving was tough. Christmas was tough. You know, so, and now, of course, in the last weekend, I called a bunch of them to, you know, the movie's going to be on in a week, so I have to find out where they stand now. Are they proud of calling him an Antichrist? Are they proud of calling him Hitler? The way they feel now is, we told you. Look, he promised all of these things, and now it's falling, you know, the stimulus package. Of course, they have reasons to be further disenchanted with Obama. They're not coming around. It's getting worse, and there's this great divide in America that we pretend doesn't exist after an election.
How do they explain what's going on with the economy?
Well, they're saying that he's, of course, just going to spend, you know, take money, you know, the socialist concept, that it's, you know, he's a socialist. Even Newsweek says we're all socialists now. You know, there's this idea out there now that socialism is okay. Like, we've made it okay with the election of Obama, and they feel like, you know, they're living in a socialist nation and they just don't know how it happened. Elaine Tornero, the woman in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, that goes door to door and says that God sent her out to campaign for McCain because she knows that Obama's not right for America. She says she drives into Columbus, Ohio, and she sees these huge iconic Obama pieces of art, you know, that image of Obama. She says, I feel like this is living in Castro's Cuba. You know, the artistic rendering of the leader with the word hope next to it. So you can, you know, it's comical to us, but to her, she feels scared and frightened, and she feels like she's living in some sort of communist country.
Well, you keep on saying it's comical to us, assuming that you know my politics. You don't know how I voted, Alexandra.
I'll tell you, that's true. And you know something else? You don't know all those closeted Republicans living in your building, because when I told people I was going out on the McCain campaign, they thought I was going out, you know, the neighbor that you see in the elevator, that kind of thing. I found more Republican voters in the building where I live and the people that work in the building where I live. You know, the guy that takes out the trash, all of that. I found more of them than I ever knew. All these people sort of came out of the closet to me that, oh, yeah, I'm a McCain supporter. I'm a McCain supporter. So there are tons of them in New York, except the opposite of that is when I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I'd say, I know Republicans. I know plenty of Republicans. They say, those are New York Republicans. They don't count. Bloomberg, that's not a Republican. That's a New York Republican. That's not a real Republican.
Did you find a difference even when you were going to some of the smaller cities as opposed to going small town America?
Well, I spent a majority of the time in rural places where they'd say things like, you know, the war in Iraq, we are the ones serving in the war in Iraq, or our number one recreation is hunting. So you just don't understand. We want to keep our guns, and guns are important to us, and we're the ones defending this. You know, I went to places where that were defined as red states, you know, or red pockets, to try and explain, you know, this other America. Not the more liberal. I didn't stay in the liberal cities. Like Columbus, you can go to Ohio and find Columbus, Ohio, which is more, the college towns can be more liberal. But if you drive out to Reynoldsburg, places like that, you can find conservatives.
We have a listener who called in saying that he was offended that you called him a fringe retard.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm a fringe retard. That's how I get characterized in the press. You know, the liberals call me, everybody calls me. I have sort of the mark of... Because I have this liberal lineage, I am considered like some sort of freak of nature. So I know how it feels. So I apologize, but, you know, that's how we are caricatured.
Now, on the other side, I got an email today from with the headline, "Why the Angry Left Will Always Be Angry. Obama and the White House won't soothe the hotheads of the angry left like the Daily Coast and Huffington Post crowds. The reason? Blame it on bad parenting," says Reb Bradley, who claims... This man claims to be a child-rearing expert, not a political analyst, but he says it's all about bad child-rearing, and I hope you speak to your mother about that.
I think she did just fine. I mean, I understand this idea that you're not going to please everybody. I mean, if you just look, the blogs are a terrible place because they breed so much. You know, it's only been 2 weeks, and Obama's already... You know, disappointed. His poll ratings already dropped 20 points.
Left and right.
You can't please. And that's sort of the sad part of the political environment. Now, to just take it to a bigger place than talking about retards and bad child rearing. You know, when you think about it, just the bigger picture of it, that's what's this democracy thing, this beautiful, wonderful thing we're exporting all around the world with our wars and stuff. It's so sad that a candidate can't really exist for more than, you know, 1 week in good standing until he's completely torn down. And, you know, I know in my own party, just to make this point, as a Democrat, there are a huge number of people I would not want to associate in my own party. I could make a film about all the crazy liberals in my party that as a person that calls himself a liberal, I could do it in my own town. You know, I live in Union Square. I walk through Union Square and I see this messiah that they're selling as Obama, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by this person that they've created on their T-shirts and so I understand. And somehow we have to figure out how we're all going to live together happily ever after in this environment. But it's, you know, cable news and talk shows and all of it are just, there's no context. It's just, we're eating ourselves alive. You know, we're like cannibals. And I think the biggest fear of the Democrats is not the Republicans. It's actually the Democrats. Who's going to destroy the Democrats? It's the Democrats.
You have another film in the works?
Well, you know, I have another film that's airing right now about the trials of Ted Haggar, which just premiered this week. So I've got, you know, in the last 2 years, I've had two babies and two movies. So I'm a little bit busy right now. But the Ted Haggar movie opened this whole wound about gay identity in America, which is sort of another part. It's like the gays on gays. You know, some people were sympathetic. Some members of the gay community really embraced it and others attacked it, saying, well, he was anti-gay. Well, anyway, we can go into this another day.
Alexandra Pelosi's latest one is Right America Feeling Wronged. It premieres on HBO next Monday, February 16th at 8 p.m. And we're going to go out with a little clip from the film. You have a lot of music, but you also talk to a lot of people. Here's one of the more reasonable sounding people.
Oh, good.
John McCain should have won. He was the right man for this country. And people couldn't see it. And I don't know why. We picked the wrong guy. I didn't. I voted for the right guy. But as a country, we picked the wrong guy.
No Obama.
No Obama.
No Obama.
Vote McCain.
No Obama.